Greetings everyone, this is Ed Squirrel Bay, the name is Charlie from Staten Island in New York City, on this wet Wednesday evening. I'd like to welcome you to the weekly shortwave scanner listeners that heard on these frequencies of the M2ROW with repeater system every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. local time. The purpose of this event is to provide a general discussion forum for those who are interested in all the different aspects of the modern radio monitoring hobby. Cover all the frequencies that you tune in with. Except for amateur radio. And that's because we can talk about that topic any other time during the week. So on this net, we're going to talk about who's on these various frequencies, what equipment you can use, where you can find resources of information that tell you what's going on, what's new coming down the pike as far as technology, maybe a change in the law. Anything to help make this hobby a little bit more enjoyable for you. We have a basic wireless for this net. First, computers that are in the M2ROW system can be found at www.m2ROW. You'll find frequencies and field notes to use in your area. Find out what's working. Second, for those who are checking in on the air, you're asked to give your main call time and location. If you have any traffic for the net. By traffic, we mean any comments or questions that you want to share with everyone else. If you do not have any traffic, we say no traffic, this way we know to go to the next person. If you're someone who's not able to get into these computers, difficulties, or maybe you don't have your amateur radio license yet, so participate by sending an email. The email address for this net is nyvxa@yahoo.com. You can also send a message to that email address if you'd like to be put on our mailing list for our newsletter that comes out in Adobe Acrobat format or for any late-breaking news that happens during the week. So at this time, we'll step by to check in. Please space it out so we don't get people stepping on each other. We'll get everybody checked in. This is M2 and OB.
Good evening, WA2SQQ, Bob in Elmwood Park with traffic.
KC2CUE, Manny in the Bronx with traffic.
KC2TF, Brooklyn with a query.
KC2QKS in Brooklyn with some traffic. Over.
WA2 Oscar Kilo Zulu 10 in Cranford, no traffic.
This is. And 1MLZ Bob in Milford, Connecticut, no traffic. Good evening.
This is. T2 DLV just supporting the net.
First, WA2SQQ, then KC2CUE, I believe that was Todd, KC2ATF, KC2GIK, KC2KS, KC2OKZ, MLZ. The next station sounded like KC2VLV, I'm not sure. Bad noise on there. And then there was K0NYC.
Charlie, turn it over to me. I didn't know if you were going over the list
or
you turned it over to me.
I'm just going over the list so far, Bob, to see if there's any additional before we started.
Cancel.
KA2U, QIJ, no traffic.
Okay, KQUIJ with an echo effect.
All right,
we'll start the list as we have it and pick up additional when we get to the bottom of this list. So first up tonight, WA2S22. Good
evening, Bob.
How things going tonight? And what'll be?
Charlie, just got in a little soggy. I have a question for the net. Just picked up my new vehicle on Monday. And I'm in the process of installing radios in it. Two comments. First of all, I picked up the RH96 for the 996, the remote control panel. And it reads in the manual, there's one thing in there that I really don't like. Of course, I don't have a choice, but I just thought I would share this with everybody. When the remote panel is used with any of the scanners it's compatible with, you cannot turn the power on the scanner on and off. So, hypothetically, if you have the scanner mounted in the trunk of your car or the seat or whatever, you have to turn the scanner on and then turn the remote panel on. And then when you turn the remote panel off, it still gives you a message that the radio is still powered on. I don't like that, which if you think about it now, the 996 or some of the other ones have a, what would you call that, a quick key startup mode, where you can hold the key down and turn the radio on and then have it come up in a pre-configured state, you know, perhaps on a particular bank of frequencies. I haven't tried it yet, but obviously if you can't turn the power on, you can't use that feature. So it is still handy, but it means that you have to somehow switch the power on and off to the radio before you use the remote head. I just thought I would share that. Now that brings me to my second issue about the scanner. I'm wondering, as far as mobile scanner antennas go, I don't know how many of you out here use them, but I've been looking at two possibilities. One of them is a through-the-glass antenna, and I've gotten a lot of feedback lately, people saying, didn't work so well, you know, skip that idea. The other thing I've been looking at is one or two companies that make these antenna couplers, which actually allow you to use your AM/FM quad antenna dual purpose for your radio and for your scanner. I'm wondering if anybody's had any experience with those. My concern is that it's going to introduce a lot of loss to the AM and FM reception. So if anybody uses anything like that. And the third possibility, of course, is what your suggestion might be. So looking to hear your feedback on that. And I'll check email in just a moment. The FMCR. WA7.
KQ2MLZ,
what was that,
Mike
with
the Zulu?
N1MLZ,
copy. Yeah, there's somebody
else who just checked in, Bob. Yeah, that was Michael
Lima Zebra. Okay, do you have any traffic with that?
No traffic.
Okay. Bob, I'm taking it from your two possibilities that you want to keep this self-motor, if at all possible.
Not necessarily. I mean, I don't want to turn it into an antenna farm. I am going to punch at least one hole in the roof for, you know, dual band quarter wave. So, That's one issue. I mean, people have suggested a trunk lift mount and so on. It's not practical for the vehicle. It doesn't have a conventional trunk. And then when I pull the car in the garage, the antennas stick up. But I'm not opposed to seeing the antennas on it.
Okay. The way I would approach it first would be to have an antenna that's made for it rather than try to find a compromise.
Where is most of your listening? 800 UHF, or you're going to be doing any UHF low band stuff?
Well, you should know, DC is right. Low band would be certainly the minimal portion of it, but certainly VHF to 800.
And definitely something along the lines of a 2440 1.2 type antenna. Everything I've heard about through the glass tells me it's a bit of a waste. And the coupling device, I don't know what to tell you about that. I would think that the field strength of a minute for a distance should be enough for it to overcome even a coupler that may choose one of these laws.
I 1 dB is nothing, but I've actually spoken to some people that said that there's a noticeable decrease in the AM/FM reception.
Because I used to use that scheme even for people had to keep the radio back to the
Well, no, many, many years ago I used it, and it worked well. I may try it. I mean, they're only $20. John over at Advance has them, and, you know, if for nothing else, it would be an interesting write it up and try it and, you know, and see how it works, share it with others, but I'm just trying to find somebody who might have used it.
And want to know this?
Demo's at Chad.
Yeah, thank you, Charlie. Yeah, Bob, I have that on my car. I got a Larson 800 megahertz cell phone through the glass antenna. I didn't want to put any holes on my car. And today, too, it works pretty good. Obviously, it works real good in 800. You know, I get the state police air trunk system real good. And, you know, when I go down to New Jersey, I get the trunk system real nice, all the way down the Garden State Parkway. It works pretty good on VHF and UHF also, surprisingly, on the scanner. So, just my 2 cents was, you know, I got it on eBay, you know, reasonable price. I think it was $15 or something. And to tell you the truth, I was surprised. It worked good enough for me not to have to put a hole in the car, but or any other means. It was a simpler way to go about. So, you know, for me anyway, but I was surprised. It's not too bad, Bob.
Do you remember who it was made by? I think there's only one company that really makes them, but this thing was kind of like a little module. It was almost like shrink wrapped or whatever, and it had where you plug the antenna in, and it had two pigtails coming out of it, right?
Yeah, as far as I remember, I think I did this about a year ago. I can look it up, look on the car, and I'm pretty sure it was Larson, Bob. I think it was a Larson antenna.
Okay, now this is, that's a, but then you got like an NMO mount or whatever. Now what I'm talking about is actually a coupler that allows you to use your existing car antenna.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, this is a through the glass, you know, where it sticks on the glass, and then you stick the other side on the other side of the glass. I'm sorry, I missed that part of the key cell there.
I've actually gotten quite a bit of feedback from people that said, don't bother with the glass antenna. The lower in frequency you go, the worse it works, and one guy said that 30 to 50 meg stations that were 10 or 20 over S9 are only like an S1 or S2, so... I think I'm going to shy away from that. I had one glass antenna that I tried using on 2 meters one time, and I just wasn't impressed. It was very narrow-banded, and, I mean, you know, antennas or repeaters that were, you know, full-scale, full-quieting would sit there at half-scale, so there's just something to be said about that piece of glass as a conductor.
Yeah, Yeah, copy that. Yeah, I agree on low band. Definitely doesn't work on low band, but I have good results on VHF and pretty good. You know, like you said, half of probably what you normally get on a real antenna. But like I said, you know, I didn't want to put a hole in the car so or anything else. So I figured that was the so the amount of time I'm in the car, which is probably 1/10 of the time that you are. It was okay for me, but it does work excellent on 800, though. I got to say that. I was surprised on 800, you know, and that's where I do most of my my monitoring here, so that was the reason why I went that way.
WA2OKZ.
Okay. Yeah, I just had one guy here. I just replied to me, and he said that he used the AM-FM splitters and found them useless. It degraded my FM radio performance to levels that were below using rubber duckies. So, just like I may not go that route either. I don't know what I'm going to use. I'm just trying to come up with something. Then I thought about using a copper foil and actually making an antenna on the window. Might be something to experiment with. So I'm not 100% sure how I'm going to approach this, but Charlie, back to you. You can play next control in your case instead.
Hi, Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Just a comment for Bob. When I played around a little bit using my car antenna for scanning, the wire that leads from the antenna that looks like coax, it's not really coax, or it wasn't on my car. If you were to cut that, find out it's a very thin wire with some braid on you know, over plastic, but characteristic impedance wise, like I said, it was a thin wire in a large diameter hole, so the impedance was all over the place. You may want to check on that. Also, I was always under the impression whenever you split, for any reason, you're going to put twice, you lose. You come up with 3 dB more. I'm not sure over that kind of bandwidth, though, whether they actually split or whether they use some type of a diplex, some type of a filter broadband. Unless you combine that way. But anyway, when I did try it, I was not very happy with the with the impedance of that of the antenna for the car.
I understand what you're saying. I don't know how much it's really going to have an effect on receiving it. You know, there's a lot of schools of thought. One of them being is if you're so close and you have a little bit of loss, so what? I'm really not sure how I'm going to attack this, but go look at it and see what the options are. I'll come up with something eventually. I like to pick everybody's brain, and you know, somebody might say, gee, I tried this and it worked really great, so we'll see how it works. Maybe somehow mount if there's such a thing as an oil band rubber duck or something like that, that I'm thinking about also. Okay, Charlie, over to you.
Okay, Bob. Let's continue down the list. The next up we have is Manny, taking Houston to UE, and Corno B.
Okay, very good there. Call your KC-03, wait a minute, on the back radio. And I had an interesting question that sort of is bugging me. Some of the HF frequencies, in particular, I'm actually going through it now, on the 8 megahertz frequency, upper sideband, i.e. 8.416.5, there's like a beacon out there, and that's the beacon there. What is that beacon used for, and
Who is it transmitting information to then, yes? Well, as soon as I can find my Ferrell's confidential frequency list, I can tell exactly who it is.
Okay. Well, and then it sends out that code, and there's about five or six beacons out there, and 8.416, 8.467, 8.429.5, there's a bunch of beacons out there, and I hear them on 8 megahertz, I hear them up on 6 megahertz. And there's one or two of them up in the 4 megahertz band, but they're really, really, really faint. And I'm only using a 9-foot whip here, so just curious.
No, I'm just listening to somebody trying to do Morse code and touch tone on another computer right now. All right, the bands that you're mentioning are international maritime bands. What you're probably hearing is the channel marker for the shore station when they don't have any traffic.
Really? So if there's traffic on that particular frequency, the beacon stops?
Yep, exactly. The things like WLO down in Alabama, they'll have these markers going. And when the traffic descends from a ship, or it may have like an hourly weather broadcast, you'll get traffic on there.
Okay, now last night I was listening in to this station 6.7540. It's a the guy kept calling shear water break, no information given, something to that effect. So that would be like up north then, right?
Well, that frequency and that type of transmission makes me think it's military.
Never mind, I just got my information.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay, thank you very much there. That's actually pretty interesting. All right, you guys got it back. Daisy, go there.
So you're going to share with everybody else?
Share what?
The information.
Oh, like the frequencies and stuff? Yeah, I got a whole bunch of them. Should I start? Well, the first frequency is 6.7540, upper sideband, 6.7540, upper sideband, this is the first. Next is, and I don't hear anything right now, 6.8, upper sideband. Next one, there's actually traffic on this channel, and I think they're speaking Portuguese. 8.290, 8.290.0, let me drop it. Okay, beacon frequency, 8.416.5, upper sideband, 8.4165, upper sideband. Following frequency, 8.4270, 8.4270, upper sideband, right? Another beacon, 8.4295, upper side, you know, that, it's also upper sideband. And then on this one, no traffic heard at the moment, but it's 8.682.5, 8.682. 2.5. That's a tongue twister. And that's what I have at the moment. So, if you guys want to listen out down there, you might hear some interesting stuff. Casey just here.
Okay.
Got them.
The way to normally give frequencies when you're talking on the HF band is convert it to kilohertz.
Okay.
So it would be 86.5. If you look at all the measures, like Myron Times and the mailing list, Glenn House's email, you'll see that they do that in that particular way. They bring out all four digits, and then if there's a decimal after that, then it's .5. If there's nothing, they just leave it blank. So it'll be 1600 kilohertz, 8290 kilohertz, 86.5 kilohertz.
Oh, okay, right to that. Well, thanks for the info. I did not want to confuse anyone. So, but I will definitely keep that in mind for the next time I get.
Yeah, and there's a section on the New York City message board for stuff here on short waves. If you want to drop it off from there, might spark some interest.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. Actually, the only reason why I even started to get into these frequencies was I was actually watching a show on called the Deadliest Catch, and they just happened to show a sideband radio with a frequency of 4125.0. So I said, I wonder what else is over there. So I went onto the Coast Guard website, and I have their listing of all of their usable frequencies. So, you know, I've decided going through stuff, and lo and behold, you know, the more you listen, the more you hear.
That's what usually happens, Manny. You wind up having hours go by and you discover so many different things. And the HF is where a lot of us got our start, maybe after AM broadcasting. And especially what these are called utility stations. They're not broadcast stations, they're not ham operated, they're called utility stations. And this particular case, you're naming a bunch of maritime utility stations. So put them on the list. As soon as I get my my ferals list, I'll identify them and I'll implement methods.
Okay, very good there. One more quick question for you. Do you know where I can get my hands on a DLF converter for my HF radio? And more or less in a nutshell, how does that thing actually work there?
Oh, converters like that? They're mixers. They have a fixed frequency that mixes with what you're tuning. And filters out one half of it and, you know, one of the mixing products, and you're left with the other one. A lot of times they will convert everything into the 80 meter band from 3.5 to 4 megahertz. And it'll equate to just into tuning into 0 to 500 kilohertz. I think Universal Radio in Ohio may still have that. I don't know if Grove carries any of those converters. SQQ, do you know?
See, the Air Grove, I actually built one. They're pretty easy. You can get your hands on a little mini circuit, double balanced mixer module. What you basically do is you feed RF into it, and you don't even need that many components. And then I use the signal generator for a local oscillator, and you get an output. So, you know, for argument's sake, you can take a lower frequency. Say you wanted to receive 150 kilohertz, and what you can do is you can take a reference oscillator of, say, 2 meg, like a signal generator, and then what it will do is it will add 2 meg plus whatever the frequency is, 150 kilohertz, and the output out of this little module is 2.15 megahertz, and you tune it there, so it just upconverts everything. That's basically how they work. Either Grove or United Radio, I would think. Universal Radio.
Okay, very good there. Well, the radio itself, Dickie goes down to 15 or 30 KC. So, I just want to hear what's below that, you know, just knows that thing. Reason being is because, I remember reading somewhere, that they have, broadcasting, down. And, you know, honestly, I'd like to know what broadcast, you know, so low, that.
Let me give you a few tips. First of all, where are you located?
I'm located up in the Co-op City section of the Bronx.
Right. When you live in an urban area like that, you're going to get a lot of noise. You can probably GX all the neon signs in your area. You also need a very long antenna. It's not to say that you're not going to receive anything, but the problem being is that because of the amount of RF in this area, you're going to get a lot of overloading from the AM broadcast stations, a lot of man-made noise. So, unless it's in the dead of winter, in the middle of the night, don't expect to hear a whole lot, below the AM broadcast stand. There's a lot down there. There's beacons, and I've actually got QSL cards from them. There's a 100-watt beacon down in a little island off the Bahamas called Stella Maris, where there's an FAA beacon down there. And I copied it, I identified it, sent the FAA in Miami a letter, and they actually sent me a QSL card for it, and they were happy to hear that I heard it. But there's also, in the 160 to 190 kilohertz, there are what they call LOFA stations. These are experimental, unlicensed stations in CW that, hams run them or whatever, and they're beacons. And I've copied a few of those. I copied one out in Long Island, and I copied one up in Oakland, New Jersey. But again, this time of the year, because of the atmospheric noise, it's very, very noisy down there. Just get a receiver and listen.
Okay, roger that. All right. Well, I have to take that into consideration because some time ago I had another HF radio and I was tuning around somewhere way down below and that could have sworn that I heard a submarine. I'm not going to, say that I definitely did, but, and that was in, mid-December or something like that, but that kind of stuff sparks my interest. I think the only good thing that helps me out is that I face the sound. So, I don't know if that's going to help things propagate, but it seems to work so far.
You know what, you can try it, because I will tell you from personal experience, it won't work, or you shouldn't do this, or, whatever. It did work. So I'm basing it on problems I've run into and on, the theoretical reply. But more times than not, people say, oh, it just didn't work for me. I hated it. The same as a movie critic said it was a terrible movie, and I thought it was a great movie. So I would encourage you to try it.
Okay, I think 2 meters just went down. Okay, very good there. Well, I will definitely give it a shot, and if I hear anything, I'll definitely check back in with you guys and let you know. Thanks for the info. Jason to the theory, let you know. Okay, Manny. Let's see. K2NTF, I believe you're next. That's one of them.
This is K2ATF. How's my signal into the machine, Charlie, before it starts?
You're fine, Chuck.
Okay, question. With regard to aircraft bands, I've been reading on the internet in reference to their analog AM voice for commercial airliners. They're looking to go into digital. I believe they call it DL mode. Hearing about that, Charlie?
chatter for a while, Todd. They're not making it. Most because you understand what I mean? When something goes digital, only one station is going to be able to transmit at a time. But if it's an AM mode, you can have several stations all keying up at the same time, and you will be able to hear each one separately. So, the people in the tower need to have the capability in case there is something going on there, and these are both planes, and not just one of them. Two, switching over to digital is going to increase the cost right across the board because there's so many different planes out there. In addition to that, there's also the question of changing over to 8 and the 3rd kilohertz step rate instead of the current 25 kilohertz step rate. So at this point, there is no movement specifically in one direction or the other, except to stay where they are.
You know what format of digital, if they do go in that direction, would it be something like an APCO 25, something to that effect?
It probably would be. You know, it wouldn't make sense to come out with a whole new scheme and just something that's off the shelf.
Okay, yeah, I was reading up on that. Then they said it was on the back burner. You get conflicting reports. But the other night I was talking about the Transit Authority. You didn't hear anything else about that. I couldn't make out what that guy was saying. Then towards the end, he said it was not going to happen with the transit train crews going UHF. So me, the logical thing, like I said to you the other night, would be they take over the old transit police frequencies when they vacate them and go to UHF. It would be less money in and the repeaters work, they're fine down there.
True. So my question to him still stands. Why would the New City Transit Authority get a bunch of frequencies that you would have allocated to them if they're not going to use it? And they're using one of them to simulcast the IRC. So it just doesn't make any sense that they would not use it at all.
And one last thing, Charlie, before I forget, concerning EMS, FDNY, are they going to go to a trunking system once this transition to UHF takes over, or are they going to remain on their UHF frequencies in a conventional mode, non-trunking?
See, when they finally put together that system between 42 and 42 and a half?
Yeah, affirmative. Once FD makes the move, and EMS is already up there. They're in the 483 range, 484. But are they still going to stay in that range and remain conventional instead of trunk?
Nothing has been definitive except to say that there will be a trunk system in there that will be APCO 25 capable, and there will be commissioner channels as well. But no one said specifically who's going to do what.
Oh, okay, no problem. All right, just wanted to know, and I'll go back to the listening mode. Nice to be back on the net, and I'll talk to you later on. I'll give it to the next station. 2NLV, back to you. Have a good night. 82ATF, listening.
Okay, Todd. Justin, KC2CIK, do you have traffic?
I do. Everything was fine, and then, but I
159330 with a DCL 315. Did I get it right? Drop that in the first few words.
The frequency is 01. And, how they'll see it on,
They pop up on bands other than what they used to. I mean, as the channel becomes available, you know, they'll just use it. And there's just so many smaller municipalities, like you said, the boroughs, and the, you know, not even having the county operations in such a small geographic location for radio waves, of course they're going to take whatever they can.
Individual departments like Walmart and Munch. Boeing Valley all have UHF one to the individual house. My question to the net is, I have a plan here that is called for Roslyn County FD UHF. I don't care. I know someone born in Homestead 500 in Valley Gorge, but I can't find their child too.
Have you tried the radio reference board? Some question there, or the NJ scan board. The only thing I've seen 470 in Hudson County is a couple of Jersey City police frequency. And a couple of channels from Sydney Place, New York.
If anybody had frequencies to the LPGA golf event, which is over in Montclair. I think it starts tomorrow. I passed it today and I saw there were people on the course I told him to check the FRS channels, the itinerant channels. I didn't know anything beyond that. But I don't know if anybody has anything on there. Perhaps it's frequencies they use. Golf is not one of my games of interest. So I told him I would post that on the net. And also, I dropped you that email. If either now or right after the net, if you can check into that, okay?
I think it was last June there was a major golf tournament up in Westchester County. There was a lot of supplemental communications, especially for traffic and security, that were handled on some unused talk groups on the state of New York police system, the trunk system up in 866. Yeah, I was just thinking they might do the same thing for near the New Jersey trunk system. But if you talk to somebody to handle a special event, you know.
I think he's meaning on-site communications there, what he was looking for. Also, 122, is it 925 or 122-295? Supposedly the Black Hawk helicopters that are fighting this fire down south are on there, and there's quite a bit of activity. I'm thinking at that altitude we might actually be able to hear something up here.
It should be 925. They're divisible by 25 kilohertz. It sounds like a Unicom channel. Okay, thanks, Justin. Yeah, 925, Bob.
I'll pop it in here and see if I can hear anything now.
Yeah, you would have thought with the rainstorms that came through that the fire would put out by now. Oh, well. Okay, next up on the list is Frank. KC2 QKS.
Good,
Frank. And
12-8. QKS here. Just anybody, as I had the experience over the weekend of, you know, going on the walk and I was just kind of looking into, you know, getting a set headphones for my S6. I guess my general question is, you know, when you add accessory to a unit, is it, you know, good to stick with the same brand, or, you know, are there, you know, other brands out there that kind of like make better headphones or better, you know, mobile antennas. So, just toss that out to the group, and anybody have any comments? Appreciate that.
I'm not sure Bob would agree with me that you find that what works best, not necessarily that the same brand name. Yeah, sometimes the brand name is more expensive than it needs to be, and really doesn't do that much more of a job, if at all. Bob, would you say the same thing?
Sorry, Charlie, I was on the phone here one for a minute. I just hung up. Can you repeat the question?
The question was on getting the name brand accessories for a particular unit. So to buy a radio, do you buy the radio accessories, or do you find something that is comparable?
No, I don't know. 50-50 depends what you're looking for. I mean, the manufacturer accessories obviously are truly plug and play, but I mean, you know, it depends what you're looking for. I found sometimes the aftermarket even works better, so that's a rough call, but I don't know. You know, if you buy a scanner and you're looking for an antenna, no, I wouldn't go to ICOM to buy an antenna. But if you buy a radio and, you know, you want a noise blanker or something, you're probably better off buying the one that comes with it. Depends on what you're really buying.
Alright, well, Frank's particular question was about headphones. You know, headphones for his AKP. Which is, you know, the same kind of question for any basic audio device or any radio, whether it's transmitter or receiver. You know, it's not necessarily the one that's marketed by the company that's necessary. You can always get something that's aftermarket.
I'll tell you what I picked up, which was interesting, and I actually picked up quite a few of them. There was a, I went to a flea market and the guy had them and I picked them up. It's not a set of headphones, it's one phone with a microphone. It was actually intended for use with cordless telephones, but it's a noise-canceling headset. So if you cut the plug off it and you wire it up to a scanner, for example, it runs on two AAA batteries, you turn it on, and you get a noise-canceling effect, and it really works very well, especially if you're outside. Of course, the microphone, you can just cut it off. You don't need it. That's the way I used it. I don't know if anybody's interested or not, but the guy had like six or seven of them. And originally, the guy wanted like $10 a piece. I got them down at $7 a piece. So I kept one or two. I've got some other ones. I figured I was going to take it to a handfest or whatever, but if anybody's interested, it worked pretty well. Again, it's only 1 year. But I found that for a scan or whatever, that noise canceling, it worked very well for outdoors. That would be my suggestion. The other thing that you might want to look into is a set of earbuds similar to what an iPod would use. They work very well also in lieu of headphones.
Today? Yeah, Bob, when you keyed up on 2 meters and gave you traffic, the carry would drop and go back to you the other way from UHF back to VHF.
I'm sorry, so did you got my comments or you didn't?
No, we did, but the carry didn't drop so we couldn't respond.
Okay, very good. I understand. Yeah, so that, I mean, that would be my comments. If you want to go that route, either earbuds or something like that. I don't know. I've got a variety of things. The other thing that I will comment, and this is just general comments, if you're outdoors, you know, and you're wearing your radio on your belt, whether it's a handy talkie or a scanner, what I found is that if you take your hand and you simply cup it around the speaker, on the bottom of the speaker pointing up, you're kind of channeling that audio up, you know, off your belt. And what I actually did was I got a piece of this conductive foam that they use for semiconductors, and I cut it out so it flips over my radio and actually made kind of a, I don't know what you'd call it, like a baffle or whatever. But if you're wearing it on your belt, it channels the audio upwards. And you'd be surprised how much that helps if you're out in public. Because otherwise, you either have to hold the scanner in your hand and hold it up to your ear, or you've got it up 2 to 3 times as loud as it really needs to be, and you're hearing it as well as everybody else. So that's another idea for making listening a little bit easier.
Yeah, I've always found myself doing that with my hand, copying it so the audio gets re-diverted. Okay. Frank, does that help a little bit? You'll have to do a little bit of research to see what makes sense to you, you know, as far as type of headphone and, you know, what's important to you. And then compare prices.
Yes, sounds like a good idea. And, Frank, I like the idea about, you know, doing something with tuning the sound up from your belt. A lot of times I'm carrying the thing on my belt, and, you know, just turning the volume up, waste power, and you can just kind of tune that up. Sure, it sounds like a pretty good idea. I can imagine almost any kind of, you know, clip or gizmo or screw to get over the unit, and, you know, basically attach it, probably have a good effect. I think that's got to open.
Yep, experimentation. That's the fun of it. Okay, Bob, do you have anything to email before we start to wrap it up tonight?
Hi, nothing new, Charlie. That's it. Just looking over. Ben sent a comment in that he's been hearing an FM pirate on 89.1, but he didn't mention where. I think he lives down in Union County, so it might be down that area. You might want to listen on 89.1. He mentioned that the station was rather vulgar. So who knows, but might be something to listen to. All right, very good, Charlie. See you all again next week. And if you get a chance, check that email if you can just respond. Kind of eager to get something to work with that. WHQ.
Okay, Bob. A salty pirate. I would sort of expect that. But anyway, also I understand there's some questions about the email sent about AIS identification system for boats. What they do is that they grabbed Marine Channels 87 and 88 on the input side. It used to be some of the old Marine telephone operator channels. So 161.975 and 162.025 are being used for it. And it's a 9600 baud data channel. It's sort of like HDRS but for both.
Somebody's rebroadcasting that. The Port Authority system on group 01-042 has got a recording going. It sounds like they're doing some coverage testing on there. Somebody alerted me to that earlier today. So somebody obviously wants to rebroadcast that here too.
Okay. 01-042. Probably one of their radio shop channels. So it's the next one up for one of the maintenance 12 groups. Let's take a listen to it. Alright, so nothing else. We'll say 7:30 everybody, and we'll catch you here next week. Actually, next week is the Skywarn training session here in New York City. If any of you have not signed up for it yet, you definitely want to do that. Need more information, just drop an email and I'll send you the link. But Skywarn training is a free course in the National Weather Service that teaches you how to be observant of certain particular weather phenomenon and reporting techniques for both warm weather and cold weather. So it's going to be held in Manhattan at the new Red Cross headquarters on 49th Street, West Side, from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. If anybody's interested, let me know, and I'll pass along the word. Otherwise, we'll go get something cold to drink, and I'll answer your email, Bob. I'll talk to everybody later. That's one of me, Claire.
Thanks. Charlie, yeah, I'll look at what you say. I'll try it, and then if not, maybe I'll give you a ring on the phone. And we'll talk about it. Thanks so much. See you all here next week. I don't know if you're going to be here, Charlie, if you're going to be at that meeting or whatever, but I should be here. I don't think my schedule is going to have me out of town or late or whatever, so I should be here. One of the things that happens from time to time is my schedule, Charlie's schedule, at the last minute, we can't make it here, and I'll give you my apologies well in advance, but if that happens and we're not here, I mean, somebody just feel free to jump in and conduct an ad, you know, formally or informally, whatever. It's certainly not intentional. Or my enthusiasm is here, but unfortunately my responsibilities are sometimes elsewhere, so these things happen. I'm sure that everybody here is run into that situation. WA Trust TQ 73. See you all next week.
Yeah, sometimes it does get in the way, Bob. Last week I got called to a mandatory conference call for all the consultant on this project that I'm doing with IBM, so no way out of it. I was hoping it would end fast enough to do the net, but I couldn't. All right, catch you guys later. That's 108.
Quick question, Charlie. You know, you guys kind of answered the question that I had, that someone... Is this net open to anyone who wants to run it more? Or is it... And then you just jump on former net, you know, things that was out there? Or is it someone in charge of it? Open.
I don't know how to answer that. Bob and I started running with this thing back in the early 90s. I just want to try your hand at being net control, you know. We just try to keep things on topic as much as possible and pull it on topic. Basically anything in the radio spectrum except for ham stuff. And every so often somebody tries to inject ham stuff into it, but, you know, it doesn't make any sense that it doesn't belong here. Other than that, now, what were you thinking of, right?
No, nothing particularly. I mean, you said next week it was probably warm. I'm going to be a bat, and the pod's going to be a bat. So, you know, what happens? Is that just someone picks up on it and, you know, starts to chat with, so to speak? Net. Open.
Yeah, typically there'd be some type of small check-in or pre-close discussion about a shortwave scanner topic. I mean, Justin said before, and all that jumped in there before. Yeah, good deal. You know, for the most part, Bob and I are here, or one of us is here. But on the off chance, you know, it happens sometimes that neither one of us can, either by accident or we're traveling or whatever.
Understood. I just want to add a comment to that. I don't really like to think of us as net control. I think we're probably moderators at best. Maybe a master of ceremonies, but we try to run a net as an open forum discussion. So, you know, if we're not going to be here or whatever, or if you have a topic of interest and I don't have a problem, give the mic over to you and take over. We try to moderate it. We'll start it, you know, and so on. But as with everything, this is an open forum discussion. So we may say something and people don't agree, or you may say something and we don't agree. Well, so be it. But that's really what it's about, just to bring things out on the open forum discussion format. Got to run, guys. Have a good evening. Keep dry. And I'm listening to 122.925. So far, I'm not hearing anything. So let's hope that the rain has put some of those fires out. WHQSQQ73.
QKS signing off. Over. 7-3.